And that's the way it happens. He reaches down, plucks us like a brand from the fire, out of the hog pen. Turn to Hosea chapter 3, but we will touch on chapter 1, 2, and 3. The name Hosea means deliverer. His name means deliverer. And I'm sure when his parents named him that, they had no idea that he was going to be such a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the true deliverer of God's people. Gomer means failure. Failure. When failure meets deliverer, she goes from rags to riches. I titled this From Rags to Riches, and I told Mike I was going to change the title to Amazing Love, and we'll probably change this title two or three more times by the time we get through it. It's just an amazing, amazing picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and His love to us. You know, He told Hosea in chapter 3, look at this verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. And here's how you're going to love her. It's not going to be a pretended love. Don't pretend like you love this prostitute. You love her. And you know what? God enabled Hosea to love her. He did love that woman. And listen to what he says. According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. Now the children of Israel are all who believe God. I'm looking at children of Israel this morning. And I'm looking at a people whom the Lord loves. Loves. And at one time, every one of us were spiritual prostitutes. Think about that. We really were. God sees our hearts. You see, He tells it like it is. He tells us what we really are. And then He reveals Himself who He is. And His love to us. Now just let me give you a brief story, then we'll go through and look at this. God tells Hosea, He says, you go take a wife. And it's not just any wife. It's not just a wife of your choosing. You go take a wife from among a people that's given to whoredom. Whoredoms. Go take a wife that's given to fornication. Her people given to fornication and adultery. This is the kind of people that she's going to come from. An adulteress. Wicked, vile people. So Hosea does as he is told. He goes and he gets this young lady. I think she, at this time, is probably about the age of around 14. They married very early in that day. I believe, and I don't know, but I believe that she herself had not yet been given to the sins of the flesh, you know, the ways of her family when Hosea first married her. But we will see that she does go into this, and then we'll relate this to the Lord's people. So he goes and he gets this young lady and he marries her. She has 3 children. And then Gomer, after a while, she leaves. See, at first, she did not love Hosea. Hosea loved her, but she loved her flesh. She loved her family. She loved the way of her family. So she leaves Hosea. And she goes after the wicked way of her own nature. But during all that time that she's out there going after the sins of her flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Sound like anybody you know? Does it feel like you're looking in a mirror right now? You are. I am. This is us. But all this time that she's going after the lust of her flesh, who is providing for her? Who is really giving her her corn and her wine? Who's giving her her wool? Who's giving it to her? Hosea. Hosea's doing it. She thinks it's her lovers. She thinks because of who she is, she thinks she's so attractive that her lovers are supporting her. She opens the door and there's some silver. She opens the door and there's some wool. She thinks, my lovers have given me these things. I'm good at what I do. And they love me. She calls them her lovers. They never did love her. They used her. And that's after a while, we see her on the auction block, and the toll of sin and a sinful life has taken its toll. Ain't nobody wants her. She's on that auction block, and there's only one person standing there that will have her. Hosea. Her Savior. Her Deliverer. Her husband. He's the only one that get 50 cents for her. She's so wore out. Sin has taken its toll on her. No one wants her. But during this whole time, Hosea is providing for her. She thought these gifts were from her lover, but they weren't. They were from him. And she praises her lovers. She gives them the glory that's due unto our Lord's name. He deserves all glory and all honor. He gives us all we have. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, who gave it to you? The Lord did. Our Deliverer did. Our husband. Well, we will see how she's brought to shame. She's brought to poverty. And this is where sin always leads. Now you mark it down. Sin always leads to shame and poverty. Always. And loneliness. And there she is. Standing on an auction block. A slave. Belonging to someone else. And as I said, there's one person there that will have anything to do with her. That's Hosea. There's only one person who really, really would have anything to do with us because of who he is. Not because of who we are or what we are, because of who he is. That's our Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says in verse 1 of chapter 3. We'll start there, then we'll look back. Then said the Lord unto me, unto Hosea. You know, I've been reading through Ezekiel. And this, when I'm reading this, it just jumped out at me. If you read through the book of Ezekiel, God has Ezekiel doing certain things. And he says, this is what I'm going to do to the children of Israel. And you're going to be an example. You know, they're going to... And here, he does this. I thought, this first thing that crossed my mind was, God puts his pastors through what he's going to put that congregation through. You go look in the book of Ezekiel. You can look at the others, but he had to go through some stuff that was just, oh, tough. But God said, this is what I'm going to do to my people. And I thought, you know, for God to make a pastor, he's got to go through some tough experiences so he can identify with the people. Well, that was a thought I had when I read this. But anyway, he said, "Then said the Lord unto me, unto Hosea, go yet love," and I mean truly love, "a woman beloved of her friend, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine." The Lord's going to put Hosea through this in order to demonstrate His love to us. To us. His children, His people. All we, the Scripture says, all we have sinned. We've all gone our own way. That's the way of the flesh. We did not come into this world in love with God. We ought to, shouldn't we? You know, it says that the wicked go astray from the womb, what? Speaking lies. We have to be taught to tell the truth. We have to be disciplined to tell the truth. It is our nature to lie. Why did you lie to me? Well, that's who he is. That's who we are. That's what we are. We're born, the Word of God teaches us, we're born this way. We're born liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what the Scripture says. We come into this world estranged. We come into this world, as David said, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. That's not just the worst of the worst. No, that's everyone. That's every one of God's children. Everyone's born this way, but we are born also this way. Children of wrath by nature, even as others. It says over in Ephesians 2. So Hosea does as he's told. Look over in chapter 1. As in verse 2 of Hosea, chapter 1, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord." He tells him, you go to a vile, to a sinful people. And you take a bride. You take yourself a wife. And you marry her. You join yourself to her. And you love her. And God enabled him to love her. I believe Hosea loved Gomer. When he first saw her, I have no doubt he fell in love with her. When our Lord chose his bride, where'd she come from? Before God created the heavens and the earth, a bride was chosen. Where did she come from? She came from a fallen, sinful, vile race. That's where she came from. Look over in 1 Corinthians. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised." Here is a description of the bride of Christ. "Yea, and the things which are not, bring to naught things that are." What a description
What a description. God that created the whole universe. God that created all things. All things were created by Christ and for Him. And what kind of people does He choose? A vile? He said, don't call me vile. I may not be speaking to you. A vile, wretched race of people. They make up His bride. They make up the bride of Christ. He loved us before we ever loved Him. We love Him because He loves us. When the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in the heart the love of God, then that heart responds in love. But there's no love there until that happens. There is not an ounce, not even a speck of love to God. I'm talking about the God who is. Not the God of our imaginations, not the God that we dream up. I'm talking about the God of the Bible, the God of Revelation. There's not an ounce or a speck of love to Him in any way, shape, or form. When people find out who He really is, if He leaves them alone, they leave Him alone. If God leaves you alone, you'll leave Him alone too. You won't have anything to do with Him. We did not choose Him. He chose us. He chose the bride. If you'll notice here, God tells Hosea where to go, the people to choose the bride, where He gets His bride from. The whole arrangement is what? Of God. This whole marriage arrangement is of God. He tells him who to marry and directs him right to this home, to this woman, and he takes her. He takes her to be his bride. But after they are married for a while, after Gomer or Hosea takes her home, they have 3 children, but she does not love Hosea yet. Doesn't love him yet. She loves her family. You know, Scripture, our Lord said, unless you hate mother, father, sister, brother more than me, you're not worthy of me. Unless you've got to love me more than them. He's not going to have a rival for his love. Everyone in here is like that. You take every one of you married couples in, you're not going to have a rival for your love. Not if you love them. Not if you love your spouse. You're not going to have a rival, I'm telling you. And our Lord's not going to have a rival. We do love one another. Husbands love the wives. Wives love the husband. We're told to do that. And we do that. But I tell you what, our love to Christ, there's no rival to it. There's no rival. Well, Gomer leaves. She leaves. She packs her bags. She takes off. She goes back to her family. She goes into prostitution. Can you imagine this? Now, what would we naturally do? We'd naturally divorce her. We would naturally get rid of her. That's not going to happen. Because God didn't get rid of us. You know, when I was reading this, I really tried to put myself... And we say, oftentimes, but by the grace of God, there go I. And we do believe that. But I tell you what, sometimes we just say that without the real experience of it, the heart experience of it. And I thought, I'm Gomer. That's me. That's me by nature. That's who I am. That's what I am by nature. So she leaves Hosea, and she goes after the way of her family,
She becomes a prostitute, an adulteress. And that's how she lives for a while. She lives like that for a while. She was from a people of whoredoms. And when she becomes of age, she walks that same path. You know, that old nature that we are born with, it rules the day. It rules us. It rules. We don't rule it. It rules us. It controls us. That's why man doesn't have a free will. He's not free. You got to be free to have anything free. Right? If you're not free, then nothing about you is free. She went after the way of her parents. This is what she was born into. This is who she was. And finally, she just one day, just, you know, Hosea may have been out somewhere. She just took off. Then I'm going, she goes back home and she falls right into that lifestyle. Falls right into it. Listen. Before the world began, God entered into a covenant with our deliverer, with our Hosea. He chose us in Christ before the world began. That's what it says over in Ephesians chapter 1. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. But when we came into this world, when we came into it, how did we come into it? Lost. We came into this as nothing but a bunch of spiritual prostitutes. In love with our flesh, in love with the ways of this world, in love with the principles of this world. That's the way we came into this world. Though we have been His before the world began. We were His before the world began. But when we came into this world, we came into this world through a sinful race, Adam and Eve and all those after. We inherited that. We inherited that. And until God does something for us and in us, we will follow that. Now, we will follow that to the T. We have no trouble trying to fulfill the lust of the flesh and of the mind. That's what we seek daily. When, you know, back before God flooded the earth, when He looked down from heaven, He said the imagination of man was evil once in a while. Every now and then. He said continually. He said they don't even have they don't have any break. There is no break in their thoughts. There is no break in their imagination of evil. There's nothing that we can do by nature that does not have sin in it. We can't tell the unadulterated truth. Can't do it. Can't do it. Because there's always sin in it. Sin is always in it. In everything we do. That's the bride that Christ chose. That's the bride He chose. We are not born into this world as innocent babes. Now, I do believe that all babes, children, mentally handicapped, are redeemed by the blood of Christ. But babies die because of sin. They die because of sin. You know, all it takes is for a little time to go by. All it takes is a little time to go by, and you find out what those children are made of, don't you? You find out what they're made of. How much time does it take to go by? Not much. Now, as soon as you get them home, keep you up all night, you got to change your diapers. I mean, it's right from the get-go. From the womb, He says, they go astray, speaking lies. We are born fallen. That we were born. And all it takes is time and opportunity. And you find out what we're made of. Doesn't take long. It is our nature to love sin. We drink iniquity. Scripture says we drink iniquity like water. Like water. Well, all this time she's gone. All this time she's out there prostituting herself. All this time she's out there loving and fulfilling the desires and the lust of her flesh. But all this time, this is amazing love. This is amazing love. This is amazing. None of us could do this. Because she can't stand Hosea. She really can't. But all this time, Hosea is giving her her corn and her wine. All this time, Hosea is taking care of her. She says in verse 5, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, there in chapter 2, mine oil and my drink. Who was giving her that? Hosea. Hosea. He took care of Gomer even in her rebellion. All that time she was out there sleeping with others, Hosea is taking care of her. He's seeing to it that she is taken care of very well. He's seeing to it that she has something to put on to cover herself. He's seeing to it that she has money. He's seeing to it that she has a place to sleep. Hosea's doing that. She doesn't realize it yet. No, just like us. We grow up. We get an education. We get a job. We work. We do this. We start to accumulate. We start to buy. And we think we're just intelligent people. Very talented. Very good at what I do. Who gave you what you do? Who gave you the mind? Who gave you the mind and the intelligence that you have? Who gave it to you? God did. Who gave you the job you have? God did. He has given us and taken care of us even when we were in rebellion against Him. That's the picture here. While we were in absolute rebellion and hatred of God, He's taking care of us. He's feeding us. You ever hear the old slogan, don't bite the hand that feeds you? Well, we've been it plenty of times. Plenty of times. But He kept on feeding us. Kept on feeding us. Kept on taking care of us. I can look back at just in my teenage years. There's a couple of times I can look back and I ought to have been dead. 18 years of age. I should have been in the grave. A friend of mine is at 19. I'm not. He kept me and brought me to the gospel. He brought me to meet my deliverer. My deliverer, my Hosea, took care of me. All that time, He provided for me. He provided a family for me to live in, took care of me. That's the way He does all His children. That's the way He does every one of His gomers. We're a bunch of gomers. Really. He takes care of Gomer. How gracious our Lord is to His people throughout our whole lives. From the cradle to the grave. Our whole lives. Provides for us, blesses us. Even though we hate Him. You know Gomer, when she opened that door, she'd get some silver or she'd get some wool and flax and, you know, water and oil and her drink. She praised herself, her lovers, Well, she was off base, wasn't she? How our Lord gave all these. He gives all these things to us. But now, enough's enough. She's been out there long enough. She's fulfilled the desires and lust of her flesh long enough. She's going to come back home. But this time when she comes back home, she's going to come back home humbled. She's going to come back home. She's going to love Hosea. And she's going to come back home. She's going to appreciate Hosea. And she's going to come back home. She's going to stay home. She's going to stay home. And she's going to look at her life, her past, and she's going to be sorrowful of it. What was I thinking? Just ashamed. Ashamed. And you know what? The Lord has to make us ashamed of this flesh and the lust of this flesh and the things we do in this flesh, the thoughts that go through our mind. We are not ashamed of them until Christ makes us truly ashamed of them. Until we see them as they really are. So God now is going to bring down Gomer. She's out there just having a good old time, she thinks. Look in verse 6, chapter 2. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. Here comes Holy Spirit conviction. This is what happens when the Lord takes hold of a sinner. He's going to hedge up your way. Every time you put your hand to something, it's not going to be a blessing. You're not going to find pleasure in it no more. You're going to hate that which you loved, and you're going to start loving that which you hated. But the first thing God has to do is make us hate what we love. Yeah, it's got to do that. Listen, you miss what happens here, you miss Christ. You miss salvation. He says, she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, you know, he's going to make her life miserable. Miserable. You will not find true repentance to be joyful. It's sorrowful. You're sorrowful over your sins. She says, I'll go and return to my first husband. For then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof. Hosea says, I'm going to take it away. God's moving his prophet now. He's going to take away the corn. He's going to take away the wine. He's going to take away the wool. He's going to take away the flax. And he's going to discover her nakedness. You will never desire the righteousness of Christ until you learn you don't have any. And until you learn that before God you are naked. That you're vile and you're sinful. And you're wretched. He said, this is what, she's got to go through this. Or she'll never be a good wife. But she'll never be a wife to Hosea. She'll never love Hosea no more than you and I would ever love Christ apart from him bringing us through this. Seeing what we are and who he is. We have to discover, he discovers to us our nakedness. I don't think there's anything I would hate right now more than to be stripped naked in front of this crowd. And you too. Wouldn't that be the most humiliating, devastating? Well, God has to do something for it to be that. Before it didn't bother her, did it?
This is a heart work going on now. There's heart work going on here. Because before it did not bother her to be naked in front of different people. But now, oh now, there's a time that the lust of our flesh, the desires of the flesh and of the mind, did not bother us. But then the Lord takes hold of us. He creates a new man, a new nature. And you are embarrassed. You're embarrassed to think of who and what you are. And now he said, I will discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease. Her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbath, everything she takes pleasure in this flesh, God has to bring it down. He has to bring it down. He has to destroy it. He said, I'm going to take away all of her joy in these things. I tell you, when your Lord truly gives a repentant heart, you don't enjoy those things that you once enjoyed. You don't enjoy the company you once enjoyed. You don't enjoy it. I will destroy her vines and her fig trees where she said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. Oh no. God's got to bring her down. God has to bring us down in order for us to truly love Christ and to despise our ways and love His way. This has to happen. This has to happen. Grace means nothing. It means nothing until you are weary of sin. Righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, means nothing Until you are weary of the old rags you got on. It means nothing. Love to Christ means nothing until we really truly hate ourselves, hate our way, and then we fall in love with Him. We realize He has been giving me my corn and my wine. He has been taking care of me. He's the one been doing it. He's the one been doing it. Well, after he does all this, there was a problem. She sold herself, as the Scripture says, under sin. She has sold herself. She now belongs to someone else. She is now a slave to someone else. She belongs to a fallen race. She's in the clutches of Satan. And Hosea cannot just legally walk up and take her. There's a price on her head now. The price. So what does Hosea do? What does he do? He goes up to that auction. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman, same woman, the same woman he married some years ago. She's beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her. You know, the law owned us. There was a curse on us. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. There's a price on our head. And for the Lord to have us, He had to pay the price. He had to be tormented in our place. He had to die. His blood had to be shed. And he did.
So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, for an omer of barley and a half omer of barley. That's the price of a slave. I can just picture this woman standing on that block, and they are auctioning her off. Her master doesn't want her. She's no good to him now. She's wore out. Sin has taken its toll on her. It's beat her up. And here are these people around. You've got all these people around. And nobody wants her. Nobody wants that woman. Except one. Except one. And he's going to pay the price. Whatever price is on her head, Hosea's going to pay it. Look at the price our Lord paid to have us. Though he was rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. The price he had to pay was humiliation. Here is a prophet of God. Here is a prophet of God. A preacher of the gospel. And he's going to identify himself with this prostitute. This is my wife. He's going to identify himself with that shame. He's going to take that humiliation that comes with being identified with that person. And he's going to do it. He's going to take the pain. He's going to take the humiliation, just as our Lord did. He endured the cross, despising what? The shame. You know how much shame he had to endure because of me and you? Because of you and I. Look at the shame our Lord had to endure. Look at the pain he endured at the hands of God, the wrath of God. Well, she's on that auction block, and Hosea pays the price, just as our Lord paid the price to have us. And I said unto her, what do you think? Why did you do this? Why did you not love me? What did I do to ever make you leave me and go into prostitution? What? You know, he never brought it up. He never brought it up. Just as our Lord does not remember our sins anymore. They're gone. You don't have to worry about him saying, you wretch, why did you do that? Why did you leave? Look at what you missed. Or look what you could have had all those other years. Look at the joy you've missed. He doesn't bring it up. I said unto her, thou shalt abide with me many days. You're mine forever. This beat up woman, wore out woman. Hosea says, you're mine forever. Thou shalt not play the harlot no more. You're not going to be anyone's prostitute anymore. You're my wife. Thou shalt not be for another man. I'm telling you what, I know every man in here is thinking, wow, what the grace of God. What grace, what love it would take to do that. Everyone in here understands that. Every man and woman understands that. So will I also be for thee. Hosea goes and he gets her. And he buys her. And that's, listen, her eternal security is him. Her safety, her security now, I mean, she's devoted to him.
Christ has bought us. He loved us. He bought us. We are His forever. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. This is eternal security. Christ is our eternal security. He said in one place, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will not, I'm going to close with this, I will not turn away from them to do them good. They shall not depart from me. I will not turn away from them to do them good. You know, I can look at now. Even now, you know, we, in our minds and thoughts, we do. You call it spiritual adultery. If Christ said, if you look on a woman with the lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. If you look on anything to love and take your attention more than Christ, guess what you committed in your heart? Spiritual adultery. But you know what he said? I will not turn away to do you good. And you won't leave me. I'm not going to let you. I ain't going to let that happen again. That won't happen the second time. Not going to happen.